Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles is here for the whole program on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblywoman Jill Tolles, Republican of District 25. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Sam. Great to see you.
Thank you. You will be serving on Ways and Means, Education and Commerce and Labor at the legislature. But before we get to that, you have just revealed a whole bunch of things to me. So let's just deal with a couple of those topics. You're at the Judicial College, which is an incredible organization that so many people in the state don't know we have in Reno.
Yes.
It's been around for a long time. What are you doing at the Judicial College, which, by the way, trains judges from all across the country?
Yes, so I actually came on to the faculty with the National Judicial College about 7 years ago, and it's amazing. Judges are incredible to work with, and we do have judges from all over the United States who come in. Now, COVID has forced us to move those classes online, but in a typical year before COVID, we would have anywhere from 150 to 200 judges from all over the United States coming here to Reno, Nevada, to this little hidden gem that is centered on the University of Nevada's campus, but is separate from the University of Nevada. And so I teach collaborative decision making to appellate court judges, state Supreme Court justices. I teach courtroom management to judges that are newly elected or appointed to office. And most recently, I developed a course for them on virtual hearings, as they've had to move to virtual hearings across the United States.
Okay, so we've seen here on Nevada Newsmakers, as everybody else has, all the different things that go on with Zoom. One of the biggest things is people getting to see where people's what people's homes look like, which has been fabulous for so many people.
Right.
What are some of the stranger things you've had to deal with as far as virtual judicial things?
Well, in doing my research, I was actually quite shocked to hear about some of the shenanigans that we've seen in courtrooms, everything from judges having to reprimand the lawyers for presenting from their bed, not being fully dressed. Perhaps they thought to put on their jackets, but they forgot to put on pants and had just boxer shorts on. There was one judge that was caught without his shirt on, believe it or not, because he didn't realize that the camera had been turned on and that the trial had started. But you know, in general, most judges and most participants, you know, do show up for work prepared, but you know, when you have self-represented litigants who come and are new to this process, it's important to still set that stage of that this is a formal court hearing. Just because it's held virtually does not mean that it is not as formal as it would be if we were in the courtroom.
You know, one of the things that's been interesting for me as far as communications go, and I know that that's an area of your expertise, is that when people are doing Zoom conferences mm-hmm. on a PC or on their phone, it's a whole different experience than here at Newsmakers. For example, even though the guest is actually on a PC, we were able to put that up onto the giant screen that's sitting behind you. So to me, it's actually a larger than life person than the person actually sitting in front of me.
Right.
So I've not felt any kind of loss in communication. I can still, to my mind, look somebody in the eye and have a full-on conversation and see their body language and everything else coming through that screen. But for others who are watching it on smaller screens, it's a much harder way to have that relationship.
And there is a little bit of a psychological separation. There's something we call social presence, that when we're in the same room, we're experiencing the same temperature in the room, the same distracting motorcycle that revs by while we're having a conversation. There's a process that you go through mentally when you get it dressed, you get in the car, you go to a place, you enter in. And that's all part of that preparation process. What happens a lot of times when we're in one Zoom meeting after another, and particularly if we're doing it from our home and we have to manage kids and dogs and deliveries at the door, it creates a little bit of a psychological barrier that it's, again, not as formal, not as professional. And so you just have to remind yourself that you're still on and you're still part of that work process, whatever that task is.
One of the other things that's been interesting that's been developing for me over the last year or so, first of all, it started with a person who was coming to me as a client for our advertising agency to talk about classes that she was teaching to corporations, to students all across the country about basic communication. Mm-hmm. Verbal communication, i.e. using a telephone as a telephone.
Right.
People being able to look another person in the eye and have mm-hmm. a conversation. These appear to be lost arts. I had somebody contact me over the Thanksgiving holiday. They first of all texted me to say, was it okay to have a FaceTime with me? Which was, of course.
Sure.
And then during the FaceTime, it was revealed that this person is kind of practicing now to use FaceTime because they are a millennial and they are therefore a texter and they are not used to this kind of contact, which
right.
just struck me as, for those of us, and you're obviously comfortable with it, I am,
right.
That they are missing out on this incredible ability to have a one-on-one, face-to-face conversation.
Right, and you speak to essentially the ladder of communication. In each rung, we have more and more nonverbal communication that we get to experience. So when we're face-to-face, this is the richest channel of communication. But then you move it down to video conference, and although we do capture a lot of the facial expressions and the tone of voice, we do miss some of the body posture, some of the gestures if that's cut off. People forget that they're on screen, and they might eat in the middle of a meeting, and maybe it's okay to grab a snack. I do it all the time in the middle of a meeting, but when you're front and center, suddenly the only thing you're seeing is somebody chewing up front and center, or they don't realize that they're halfway off of the screen, or they're walking around their house while they're having a meeting, and all those awkward faux pas. But then you step down one more rung of the ladder, and if you're just on the telephone, you only hear a tone of voice. Then you step down another rung, and you're just texting. Then you don't get to see any of those nonverbals. And then that's, as we know, very dangerous if you try and use humor or sarcasm, because it doesn't always translate, and you might have to go back and do some conflict resolution as a result. But you know, you're right, teaching us to acclimate and teaching the next generation to make sure that they are using eye contact and all these nonverbal skills that we grew up with and took for granted is critical, especially now that we have all these kids doing all their classes online or doing more of their work from home. And I think we're all going to have to go through a little bit of an acclimation process as we re-enter. There's some people who've just completely isolated during COVID. because of vulnerabilities and following the guidelines and because of their work or what have you. So how do we all make sure that we come back into this space and just have normal conversations again and feel comfortable again? There's a little bit of that socialization process that has to happen. But I got to tell you, Par and I, as you know my husband, we were just talking, we can't wait to hopefully with the successful distribution of the vaccine get back into a place where we are going to be really, really celebrating. And boy, how sweet is that going to be after the bittersweet, right? We're going to have some great, I think, celebrations of getting back to normal, hopefully, just gradually as we get there.
Just in this particular sense, the swing of the pendulum to where we can go back to hugging and giving somebody a kiss on the cheek and laughing together in a group perhaps larger than two will be a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Much more with Jill Tolles after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolles Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolles Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation, a different conversation than I had thought, with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles, Republican of District 25. We'll get to legislative issues in a moment, and you're always welcome to come back. But now you're telling me that you're also at the FBI Citizens Academy. What are you learning there?
So, yes, because I don't have enough going on between teaching and kids and business and then the legislature, of course, and I was recruited to join the FBI Citizens Academy, which was just a fantastic experience. Of course, I'm a sister of law enforcement officers. I have tremendous respect for our law enforcement community and have been very involved with passing legislation, particularly around the areas of sex trafficking. And so I jumped at the opportunity, and it was a wonderful program with other community leaders where we came together and we got to meet with all the various agents in our state and learn more about what the FBI does, the history of it, all the different departments. And you don't really realize all that these, you know, what I would call the invisible force of 32,000 nationwide and internationally do to really protect our constitutional rights, to protect our vulnerable, to protect us against fraud, against cyber attacks, international and domestic terrorism, to protect the election process, and we've certainly heard a lot about that, and then also to go after gangs and drug trafficking and sex trafficking. And so it was fascinating to learn, but also very hands-on. We had one night where they had the forensic team, you know, essentially your CSI, that talks about how they go and investigate a murder scene. And they pulled out their truck and all the equipment that they use. And in the middle of it, they had to cut short, unfortunately, tragically, because there was a homicide on tribal land. And so they are the law enforcement officers for our tribal lands. And so they had to pick up and leave in the middle of the presentation. But I also, in that course, had an opportunity to go along with their undercover sting, going after buyers of illegal sex trafficking of minors. And if you remember in the news, they did arrest successfully 28 individuals. What was, you know, always surprising, or never surprising, but always shocking, was that there was hundreds of Reno buyers who were interested. They had a whole operation in a house not too far from here, actually. And they would have officers, you know, make the deal online with somebody who knowingly was purchasing sex from an underage minor. And then they would meet them at the door. And then when they came to the door, they would arrest them and bring them in for questioning. And you would see all walks of life who were there, and all manner of reasons given. This is my first time, I swear, or, you know, my wife's too tired at home with little kids, so I'm doing her a favor. I actually heard that, which was just shocking. But it was really impressive to me to see the coordination of efforts between our law enforcement community. How much time, how professional they were, how well run the operation was, how they collaborated between the FBI, Reno, Sparks PD, NHP, they had even UNR, the police department, they had all the collaboration between all the agencies, the sheriff's department and so forth, working together on this important issue that specifically targets minors in our community.
The thing that's fascinating to me is the amount of law enforcement that we have in the state of Nevada, and especially in Reno, perhaps more so than Las Vegas, because Las Vegas is a city of 2 million people, you would expect, and a huge tourist draw, mm-hmm. so you would expect a huge police presence of all kinds. But there is a huge police presence of all kinds in Northern Nevada as well. And you see it when there's any kind of emergency. If you go downtown, for example, if something's going on, you see all the different agencies' vehicles there, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like, I didn't know that they were represented here, but right. it is. Let's take another break. We'll okay. come back much more with you after this.
Thank you.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles, Republican of District 25, who's going to come back very soon to talk about a lot more political issues. But the one I wanted to start off with here in this segment was the revelation of the Nevada Climate Blueprint that came out. What are your thoughts on this so far, as you take first glances at it?
So I'm going to dive into it deeper. Of course, I served on the Interim Energy Committee in many of these issues did rise to the surface in terms of what can we do responsibly to address, first of all, I think it's a tremendous economic development opportunity. Every time we look at renewable energy, we have so many incredible resources in our state, and I do believe that it is beneficial for us to continue to support that diversified industry in our economy. But secondly, it's a long-term responsible thing to do, to care for our environment, to look at sustainability. However, we always have to keep in balance to what extent we can do that that's not going to be counterproductive to our other efforts to keep housing affordable and development affordable. And there's ways to reasonably do that without hamstringing our economy as well, and then carrying on those costs to consumers and to homeowners and so forth. So, you know, how do we take measured steps? I'll admit to you that I need to dive into the full report. I haven't had a chance to pour through it yet, but I do know that some of the initial recommendations, those are all the things that we always have to balance.
Yeah, because I mean, part of it, everybody wants, I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't want to protect the environment per se.
Yeah.
But this blueprint looks like it's such a massive change. And it's making projections 30, 50 years into the future. If you go back 50 years and say see what people were talking about back then and project them out to now, we're not flying around in Jetsons cars. I mean, you know, that was the idea back then. Even, you know, going to Tomorrowland at Disney,
right,
with GE, they were looking at things that have never come to fruition, or very few of those things have come to fruition. And there's a price tag to all of this, and I'm wondering at this point in time, when there are so many industries in trouble and so many people in their personal lives in trouble, the idea of raising costs on anything seems to be the wrong way to go.
Well, and listen, we know, and we were talking over the break, that we're facing another projected $400 million shortfall. And the governor has asked agencies to look at another 12% in cuts. We had conversations before and after the special session and how painful those cuts were. And so in this next legislative session, the number one topic that we will be addressing is the budget. It's the one thing that we are constitutionally obligated to close before sine die, the end of those 120 days. And so the number one focus is going to be on the budget, and also on redistricting. And then beyond that, are we going to have policy discussions? Absolutely. But they're not going to be as robust of policy discussions and as big heavy lifts, I think, as we've seen in the past, because we're going to need to primarily focus on those two major things, the budget and redistricting. We also don't exactly know entirely what the format is going to look like. We have all been pushing hard to keep the legislature open. I know leadership is working on that vigorously, but we do know that there may be staffing issues. We may have to rotate out some things because of COVID exposure. We don't know how much the vaccines are going to be distributed and in effect by then. We're addressing all those mitigation strategies as best we can, but we need to have very realistic expectations about how much heavy lifting policy-wise, period, we're going to be able to address. We need to get the budget done first and foremost.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of things. Access for the public.
Yeah.
And access for the lobbying community,
yep,
because in a citizen legislature, you guys need the input of lobbyists,
yep,
to give you all sides of opinion so that you can make the decisions, because none of the 63, and even the governor, are not experts in every field.
Right.
And so what kind of access is being discussed at this point in time? Will the building be open?
So that is the hope. I mean, the goal is to get the building as open as we can, even if, and I heard that you had our caucus leader, Dr. Robin Titus, on, even if it's using measures like you do at Walmart, where you have a clicker and you count how many people in the building, right? There's ways to spread us out. There's ways to use rooms in that building, even break rooms and caucus rooms and so forth, other committee meeting rooms in ways that we haven't before, to make sure that we can socially distance using plexiglass, making sure that we're safe, but we can still conduct meetings and still open it up. And I do agree with you that voice, the citizen's voice and the industry representative's voice was desperately missing in the special sessions. And I know that I definitely missed having that level of expertise and input from all the stakeholders. We make better decisions when we hear from all the stakeholders. So I myself, other and others in leadership have been pushing for as much as we possibly can, as much as we safely can, let's open it.
And what about the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning meetings?
I as you know, I was extremely frustrated with that because that absolutely cuts off the public voice. You know, we have people who are already stressed out working, often with kids, dogs at home. We have healthcare workers who are stretched to the nth degree. And we need teachers who are stretched to the nth degree. We need to hear their voices on these policy decisions when we have them come up. There's no reason why, unless it's sine die, we need to be having midnight meetings. We need to make those meetings as accessible as possible for people to participate virtually and, if possible, in the building.
Does the speaker and the majority leader agree with you?
I have had conversations with them, and they do know that that's the goal, and they would say it's their goal to find ways to stay open, that they would like to see it open. I can only speak on the Assembly side. I haven't talked to the Senate side. So we have been having those conversations with our staff at the legislature as well. They do have concerns. You know, we are employers of staff. We need to make sure that our staff are safe as well. So we're continuing to work through that, looking at models in other states, and then hoping, too, that with the distribution of the vaccine, that we'll see some positive outcomes. We all have to take personal responsibility to help stop the spread. I think that's where it absolutely starts and ends, is with that personal responsibility. Hopefully, we'll be in a better place by February.
Exactly, and that's where we have to leave it. Come back soon.
Thank you.
Lots more to talk about.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? Are you learning? This place is great!
Huh?
You gotta try this!
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.